It's all down to perspective. That's the key thing, all down to perspective. As we continue the joys of the Midweek Drive, another ace musician is about to make their debut on the production. Yes, Shaylee, it gets even more exciting than having Binky in the first part of the programme. We now say ace guru of all manner of wonderful things, English singer, guitarist, all wonderful things, James Litherland. Are you there, James?
I am indeed. How are you? I think guru is a little pushing it.
Oh, I don't know. I've been listening to Back in Blue, and I think the album's wonderful. We're going to work through that whole process. Now, just to actually work our way through this, is your website jameslitherland.com?
It is.
That's all right, then, because after the kind of confusion we had over...
with Jean.
Exactly, with Jean in the first part of the programme, we thought, best get the right person in the right century, otherwise who knows what could actually happen. So we see a whole range of things here in terms of jameslitherland.com. James has played, worked with some of the most important figures in rock music, including, let's just roll up on it here, George Martin. Share my birthday with George Martin, 3rd
nice.
Of January. He produced the Beatles. I haven't as yet, but you never know. Jeff Beck, Hi Ho Silver Lining, Rod Stewart, Pete Brown, the Cream lyricist, Alexis Corner, jazz musician extraordinaire, Steve Marriott, Finbar Fury, Mick Taylor, Cliff Williams, Graham Broad, John Wetton, and of course he's the father of James Blake, whose song The Wilhelm Scream was taken from Where to Turn, which is on the Fourth Estate album.
Right.
We are about to listen to Back and Blue, which I think is pretty awesome. And I like for an English graduate, should appreciate Black and Blue? No, Back and Blue.
I like it, yeah. It's very, very clever.
Exactly, Back and Blue. So, are we... Now, is there a video for this as yet, James, that we haven't managed to access?
There's a video for... not for Black and Blue itself.
We've got Can't Live Without You as far as videos are concerned.
Video for that.
And
yeah,
I don't want to be so random as to play the video for Can't Live Without You in the studio whilst we're listening to Back in Blue. So, you know, that would be just... I mean, you can try it at home. It could bring on an existential crisis, personally, but still. Are we ready to listen to James Litherland's Back in Blue?
Do it.
It's a thumbs up. Estera,
yep.
Ready for this?
Yep. Yep.
James, would you like to introduce yourself with Back in Blue, please?
Well, this is the title track from the album, Back in Blue. Here we go.
Stay with us. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes, 53 seconds from now.
Sometimes I'll be sad, 'cause you're the best thing that I've ever had.
go for a round of applause straight away.
Yay!
And yes, yes, Shaylee, that was James singing.
I can't believe that.
Didn't believe it was your voice, James. Thought it's somebody else. Exactly, just primarily because she always feels it's a bit of a shocker when we actually have an ace musical artist on the programme. That's amazing. Cool. Let's Thank do a little bit of biography from that perspective. Actually, Estira, what did you make of Back in Blue?
No, great too. Yeah, definitely.
Positive from that. James Littleland, born in Salford to poor parents. Oh no, it's a decadent society. Who worked in the textile industry.
I think you have to be born to poor parents to be a great artist.
Really?
You heard it here first.
So many times.
Estira Sutton makes that statement. If you want to be a great artist, make sure your parents are poor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the Conservative government already thinking, yes, go, Estira. That's what we like. We're creating the artists of tomorrow. Sorry.
That's how they can justify austerity measures.
Exactly. Let's move on. James got his first guitar at the age of 8 and was introduced to blues music at the age of 10. Within a year, he was playing in bands, at first blues and then branching out into Stax and then Motown bands. I presume this is all true because it was sent to us via the delightful Tony McDonough. So if we're telling inconsistencies, just say...
You can blame him.
Exactly. This is the key sort of aspect. You know, we love Tony. He's a Sheffield Wednesday supporter. But at the end of the day, just got ease back on the whole thing. After leaving school, James worked for 2 years until at the age of 19. He answered an advertisement in Melody Maker for the band Coliseum, who had within their ranks 3 ex-members of John Miles' Blues Breakers. Within a week, he moved to London to become a professional musician with Coliseum as the singer and guitarist. And you've never really looked back in many ways. I mean, we've got a whole range of things. You've lived for a year in San Francisco, playing in the Bay Area.
Nice.
Did you do that Streets of San Francisco thing, James, where you kind of would bounce over the things? And did you ride the trams?
I definitely rode the tram. And I did do the bounce a little bit, yes.
San Francisco's
a lovely city.
You know, just the Streets of San Francisco, a Quinn Martin production, still carries with it chills, even if you weren't around in the 1970s when it was first broadcast. That's what reruns on YouTube before.
Bullet is the one you've got to watch.
We got Robert Vaughn.
Sorry, no, just San Francisco, such a great city, you know, for a creative musician.
Who were born to poor parents. Sorry. just talk us through, James, some of the people you actually worked with. I mean, just looking at the list here, you've got Bobby Vega, Sly and the Family Stone, we've got Pointer Sisters, Gaylord Birch, you've got Tom Salisbury, who's worked with... I mean, this must have been a wonderful internship for yourself from that perspective.
It was fantastic. When I went to San Francisco to join a band, because I had some friends over there, and they asked me to come over for the summer to join this band and play in the Bay Area. So I did, and I went over there, and I sort of got introduced to a lot of Van Morrison's band, and I was introduced to Tom Salisbury, who was his keyboard player. I did some sessions for him with Gaylord Birch, who was in the Pointer Sisters. So that was fantastic. And I went and played with Gregor Rico and Bobby Vega. They were going to form a band. So I went and played with those for a bit. And, it was just a great time. I had a fantastic time.
Now, James, because we've bonded so well, I feel we are bonding in a sense, or we're in the process of doing that.
We are bonding.
I'm going to actually put another James Littleland track to the team, one of which is actually instrumental. And, James, it's entirely up to yourself to determine, do we go Cosmic Call or Freedom Road? Freedom Road or Cosmic Call? Where are you going to put
Freedom Road. Freedom Road.
Straight in there. No mess in.
We like determinism. That's great. James, stay with us. We'll be back with you after this.
All right.
Feed, but baby, you're the only love I need. You set me down on the freedom road. My senses into overload. Looked inside my heart and found the key. Through the lock and then you set me free. Shackled by a ball and chain. Never thought that I could love again. I couldn't tell you why I felt so bad. I didn't miss the things I've never had. I couldn't see before you came along. There was nothing really going on. Then you showed me I could be myself. Now baby, I don't want nobody else. You set me down on the freedom road. My senses into overload. Looked inside my heart and found the key. Through the lock and then you set me free.
Applause, please. Yay!
Woo!
So
thank you very much.
Did that float your boat, Esther?
Yeah, no, that was great. That was a kind of long journey in a car.
Exactly. And Shayla, you were already sort of accessing the social media and actually held up your phone with Freedom Road.
Yep. So I'm currently in the process of downloading every song you've ever sung.
You see? That's the 21st century, and I think I know the answer to this, but shall we like James Littleland's Facebook page?
Do it, Alex.
Do it, right? Okay.
Dare you.
There, it's done.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Sorted through, and at the same time, I've also uploaded the photographs of Shaylee and Esther holding up the poster, which Shaylee's going to be talking about in all sorts of ways, so it's great stuff. James, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been
it's
okay?
It's been absolutely marvellous, and thank you very much for playing the record. It's absolutely great.
You do not have to apologise for the quality that we actually have been exposed to. It's generally wonderful stuff. And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future? Will you return?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. Hey. I'd love
it. Hey. Now just get in. And close the door. And put your foot down. You know, I like this suburb we're going through. I've been around here many times before. When I was young, we were going to move out this way. For the clean air, it's healthy, you know. Away from the factories and the smoke. I like that shop, too. You can get anything there. So just get in. And we'll go for a ride. across the city limit and head on down the M62. It's only 39 miles and 45 minutes to Manchester, and that's my birth wish.
Number we haven't heard for quite some time, actually, given that it was in the latter part of the 1980s. It's Immaterial and Driving Away From Home.
Nice.
Drive time kind of fits together, which is the sort of thing Philip Hurdwood, our voiceover artiste extraordinaire, would obviously confirm. Isn't that right, Philip Hurdwood?
Absolutely correct of the correcting terms. It couldn't be more correct if it tried.
This is very true. It's got 100% correctedness there.
Absolutely. It's more correct than somebody who thinks he's Mr. and Mrs. Correct of Correct Land in the correct Europe and correct world and correct planet Earth.
And that's the kind of...
Try that anyway. That's
the kind correct of has now lost its effect. What does correct mean again?
Well, I mean, I could continue, but I won't.
We could actually have a thesaurus of routines.
There's something in this tea I've just drunk, I think.
There's always something in the tea, Philip, but we're not allowed to talk about that on air. Nearly 15 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock, as far as Britain is actually concerned.
Well, there is that. There is that.
in Los Angeles, of course, just in case you're wondering when we're going to Larry Nemechek, it will be approaching 10:15 a.m. There we are, 10:15.
In the morning, jolly old morning.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, I've got a contact in Los Angeles with whom I have to correspond quite frequently. Mm. And sometimes I'll send him an email and I'll get it back thinking, my God, he's up early. Then I check my timing. And I find it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. And people do start their day very, very early in LA, don't they?
Well, we like to think we start fairly early here, I say, as somebody who's actually in the office at around about 7 a.m. this morning. But that's by the by, you know, it's where it's just 11 p.m. in Los Angeles.
I think you're a secret Californian, you know, that. You? I really do.
The secret's out now.
Oh, I know. It's obviously all those years ago when we would do the slow motion run a la Baywatch. It was just a whole new system there.
Anyway. Well, I thought I glimpsed you among the crowd, I've got to say.
Moving on, in terms of Eastern Europe, something I wanted to ask you, because I've got here
very
one of
true.
The discussion topics, the Northern European perspective, and we have Estera Sutton, our ace, young lady from Szczecin in Poland. Back in the day, of course, Estera, when you were a student, it was Estera Oklarinska.
Okruglitska, yes.
I knew I'd never get it there. I just sort of She marries, she becomes Esther Sutton. It's all good. That's the important thing from that point of view.
Well, you had the matronymic, and now you've got the patronymic, I suppose. Is that correct?
You see, this is what comes of studying English at the University of Belfast back in the day.
What, like, well, why don't I go to Belfast? You don't learn any of this in Lincoln.
Oh, no, I tell you what, we had a very rounded education over there, you know,
yeah,
very rounded.
Exactly.
It was a very, as somebody once remarked in Dublin, you know, it's a very literary coterie round there, you know.
Nice. Nicely done.
This is one of the reasons why one of the little-known showbiz secrets, not in a scary Harvey Weinstein way, don't
that's
worry.
Me,
not...
That's me. I'm one of the
little known
secrets. You've hit the nail on the head there. I'm the kind of actor, when he phones his agent, he says, I'm sorry, who?
We know we go there. Now, I like to say, Philip, that without your good self, Liam Neeson would not have been the person he has become, really. It's that kind
he
of...
He would be slightly taller, possibly.
Exactly.
He is very tall. He is very tall. He's a very tall chap. Well,
he is Qui-Gon Jinn in the Star Wars series. He's obviously going to be quite
tall.
Well,
he was.
Just to be there.
Oh,
Yoda.
He was tall.
You could see Liam Neeson as Yoda. It would be a stretch too far in the casting.
Or R2-D2. You couldn't put him into that either. It wouldn't work. You know,
he'd be a contortionist if he did.
Exactly.
He would. He could be a Chewbacca, couldn't he?
Nice.
I could see him as a Chewbacca. Because, you know, he's saying, I'm Chewbacca, because I'm Liam Neeson, and that's how I talk, you know, and I'm taken, and I'm going to beat you up, and I make millions out of doing it.
That's uncanny.
It's almost as though we were in the same room.
It was really cool.
I felt that myself. As it came out of my mouth, it wasn't me speaking, it was Liam.
You were channeling Liam.
It's
sometimes it's difficult to tell. Is it Liam or is it Bob Geldof or is it Phil Hurdwood? It's just amazing.
Well, it could be anybody. I wake up in the morning wondering who the hell I am. You know.
Don't we all?
Well, as long as we can kind of anchor ourselves in this version, we come to in terms of reality. What I was getting.
It's not your show, reality. Come on, Alexius. This isn't reality. This is make believe. This is an alternate universe here. Drive time. Surely we all know that.
Do you know, he's absolutely right. We step through this into another dimension, beyond sight and sound, and between the pit of imagination and the summit of our best fields and thoughts.
How very well put.
Paraphrasing the Twilight Zone.
Liam couldn't have said it better himself.
Estera, Philip is currently engaged in a movie production thereupon in Romania. Not too far away from Poland, but still interestingly connected there. Would you like to just quiz him on how it's been going and what he can, and obviously certain things he can't say, in terms of this grand event, which he sort of sent me a little snippet for commentary on. I thought,
oh, yeah.
That's very interesting. You know, in terms of what, I will actually try and locate it whilst Estera is questioning you. As I said before,
okay.
As a male, I cannot multitask. So, yeah. Have to sort of focus on
what do you think I am? An octopus? You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Estera, over to you.
Where exactly in Romania is that going to be? Sorry.
Well, we are actually going to shoot in Bucharest itself,
okay.
In the capital. And so some of the action takes place there. And then we move up into the Maramureș, which is in the Carpathian Mountains. It's quite the most jaw-droppingly beautiful part of the world you've ever imagined. And it's got lots of wonderful traditional villages where people still use the old ways and still, you know, bring in the crops, you know, in the old way. And, you know, what you have there is the most beautiful landscape. You have, you know, beautiful wild flowers because they don't use pesticides or anything like that. They have abundant crops. And all the fields are lined with wonderful wild flowers. It's an absolute joy to be. So from a cinematic point of view, it's going to look
beautiful.
And this is part of what we're going to do, is to actually focus on the beauty of the country.
Yeah.
And in fact, to underscore as well, to bring people's attention to the fact that, like an awful lot of Eastern European countries, although sometimes Romania doesn't like to be called Eastern anymore, you know, they feel
first
very much part
Central
of the West.
Europe.
Well, indeed, exactly. But like so many countries, you know, there's an awful lot of history, there's an awful lot of culture, which people aren't aware of. I mean, it's, you know, like Poland itself as well. I mean, an awful lot of rich, you know, cultural history, which we don't see. You know, we see old Poland's builders over here, fucking old jobs. You know, Romania is beggars and gypsies. But actually, that isn't the whole story by a very, very, very long chalk. And we're trying to, in our film, apart from anything else, you know, that's one of the things we're going to address.
Have you? How would you describe the people in the Romania as friendly, similar to Polish people?
Oh gosh, I mean,
very welcoming.
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, what you've got, you know, you've got the kind of mixture of Slavic and you know, and Romanian and Latin, Roman. You know, is Latin. So you know, when you get past that. That's, and don't forget, people have been suspicious for, you know, a couple of generations, you know, and some of that suspiciousness kind of remains because, you know, of the what was called the plague, you know, under communism. So that's gone now. But people still have that slight reserve. But once you get past that sort of Slavic kind of reserve and Slavic exterior, you know, scratch a Romanian and you've got an Italian underneath. And they're warm and friendly and loyal and absolutely joyfully lovely people. And I've got so many great friends there now in Bucharest, and up into the mountains as well. We've got a composer who's doing our music for us, who's absolutely amazing, a guy called Dan Handelboer, and he's done some astonishing music. And you know, he and I and his wife are really good pals now. And you know, they're great people. I'm really, really fond of Romanian people, very, very fond of them indeed.
In the end, I've given up trying to find the video clip that Philip sent me. I've simply gone to his IMDb page. It's fair enough. We can work our way through that. I'm sure we'll have a greater success. But I was very impressed with it because
you liked it, yeah?
I thought it worked well. It was a nice sort of touch on that basis. Would you like to share the theme of the movie, or as much as again you can? Because let's face it.
Yes, I mean, well, of course. I mean, essentially, I mean, what the teaser? It wasn't a trailer as such.
No.
But it's more of a teaser, which is simply to kind of give an impression of the mood of something of the relationship between the two principal characters, something of the kind of location and something of the kind of, you know, the settings, the mountain settings, and also to try and convey a little of the mystery behind the film as well. You know, it is a drama, but there is a sort of a bittersweet romance at the centre of it, really, you know, in terms of the actual plot and the story. And it's about two people who are, you know, completely unsuited to each other, completely opposite. You know, a young, late 20s Romanian artist and a sort of rather disillusioned English professor at a German university. And he goes to the mountains to, you know, to research some old folk tales. This young artist, is his driver and translator for the journey. And they meet each other, and there is an attraction, but it's more of a meeting of minds, because although he's actually quite keen because she's beautiful, you know, he's completely mistaken in thinking that she's ever going to have any kind of interest in him beyond the fact that, you know, she likes him a lot as a person. And it's kind of just dealing with that kind of, you know, that kind of area of romance. But of course, at the end of it all, they go their separate ways, having learnt a lot from each other, having learnt an awful lot about themselves as well. And that's the principal kind of theme. So it is quite bittersweet, and all the way through, you know, the audience is kind of teased that, you know, will they or won't they sort of ever have a relationship? And you know,
no, they won't in a post-Weinstein world. It's just wrong. It's just so wrong. Just to step away from the whole thing.
This is absolutely, absolutely right. And, you know, and of course that was a disgrace, and all the other revelations that have come to light as well. But, you know, this is really at the heart of it, that, you know, you can be desperately close to somebody, but it doesn't have to always be a romance, you know. And that's important as well to sort of, to think about, you know.
Yes.
But as well as anything else, there is action, there's car chases, there's even a death.
And the title of the movie is, Philip?
The title of the movie is The Old Land.
The Old Land.
Yeah, so, you know, it's got quite a lot of kind of layers behind it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's where we are. It's on Vimeo, it's on YouTube, so you can probably find it on YouTube as well. If you put The Old Land trailer, you might find it on YouTube. But, so we're very pleased with the little teaser, I think we put it, as The Old Land teaser.
It's a teaser. The Old Land are still in development, but working through all manner of things. And there we actually see
indeed,
Philip portraying The Old Land with, indeed, your co-star, whose name is?
Whose name is Laura Roxana Popa, who is my co-writer, co-producer, and Co, lots of other things, because we're developing other things as well at the moment, such as a couple of reality TV shows, which
we need
we're
more
working
of those.
On with an Australian company. So
I'm a radio presenter, get me out of here! Sorry.
Nice.
Well, a bit like that, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so we sort of come up with all sorts of ideas, and we think along the same kind of way lines, you know. And
well, it's time she also made her debut on the Midweek Drive, Philip. So
well, she might even do that one of these days. Wonderful. I tell you what, she is a ball of fire, and you would have no trouble getting a conversation out of her on the radio.
It's always important. Shaylee, last two questions for Philip, please.
It's gone, been too quick.
It's gone fast, and I didn't even get to ask how educating Rita was.
Oh,
but
my
anyway,
gracious me,
that's
a lifetime ago.
That's another
ago,
conversation for another day.
Another day, yeah. Another day, indeed.
So, Philip, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with Siren FM today?
Absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it, as always, as I always have done for the last, Alexis will actually remind
a quarter of a
me,
century, Philip, actually.
If not more.
Well, let's say, we started, what, 1984,
When I was a small boy.
Yes.
Short trousers.
So his response to the next one could be a deal breaker. Will he return?
Oh, you let me think. No, yes.
Stage and screen, a lover of mystery, and an international citizen of the world, this is Lily Holloman.
Yes, I didn't think we'd actually get to play that before Thanksgiving, but we could, and we did, and we have. Lily Holloman, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Yay!
Thank you.
Excellent. So have you just finished chairing another awesome meeting of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club?
I did indeed. It was quite the morning. We had a wonderful speaker today talking about the women of Walt Disney Animation through history, and how influential they were in specifically coloring the animation and painting it, and how the Disney company was innovative in creating their own paints. They literally had chemists, all of which were female, who created their own paints, which made their animation really pop and look
it gave
more
it that,
textured.
That wonderful that line, stuff. Exactly, of Disney-esque feels in so many ways. Now, it's become a little bit of an interesting line that over the last few months I have at various times compared Lily Holloman to the amazing Barbara Bain, a younger version of Barbara Bain. Sorry, Barbara, if you're listening, but at the end of the day, in her Mission Impossible days. But I have actually now discovered possibly another. I mean, obviously, there's only one Lily Holloman. We know that. NCIS would not have been the same without, you know, Lily's insertion into the whole thing. By the way, it's NCIS New Orleans, in case you're wondering.
Ah.
Second season episode, and Lily portrays a Marine's wife in such a way that I got chills.
And I'm doing tonight.
She should return. Exactly. We should have it as a recurring character on the whole thing. The world needs more Lily Holloman.
I think so.
Yeah, well, the campaign is starting on this side of the Atlantic, and hopefully the ripples will kind of work their way through the process. Actor,
I'm counting on you.
We do our best, Lily. You know that. We always keep sort of working our way through that whole process.
If it happens, we'll get a percentage.
Oh, bless you. You know, that's this. At the end of the day, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage, which is wonderful from that point of view. Interesting, we've got a line from Larry Nemechek saying, try Mo again. I don't think he's referring to the Simpsons Mo there. I think he's saying, try me again. All right, Larry, we'll come to you in a few, but we'll juggle around in that sort of basis. So we'll work our way through that. We can't. You know, Lily has signed up for this. So what have you been getting up to? And it's crazy to actually say would she have actually sort of accessed the show beforehand, because no, she's been too busy chairing the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. I mean, you might like to find out what the Los Angeles Breakfast Club is, Esther. You've been to LA, haven't you?
I have, yes.
When was the last time you actually went to that wonderful land of
last
angels?
Year.
Last year.
I did a quick trip, San Francisco, Los Angeles. It was just I was travelling with my husband, and then San Diego.
Had you returned a little bit sooner to the Midrick Drive, obviously there's always a perfect time to actually there, but you know, that gap of, what is it, 8 years, 2009, 2010, your last Midrick Drive?
2008.
Yeah, last had you actually returned sooner, we could have put you in touch, you could have met Lily and Phil Leonis, we could have built that bonding, you could even have checked out San Diego, but you're back with us now, so next time you're over in LA, I'm sure Lily will ensure that you'll get a warm Holloman Leonis welcome.
As
befits a citizen of the world, born in Poland, living in Lincoln, did graphic design. It was a designer in Michigan.
Interior design, yes.
Wonderful. So anyway, it's over to you to quiz Lily on her life and times, Estira, and find out, is Los Angeles missing you? Because I have a feeling that if Los Angeles hasn't put out the come back, Estira Sutton, we need you. anyway, off you go.
Well, if you come back, then, as we say at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, we'll give you a warm ham and eggs welcome.
Anything for a vegetarian?
Nice.
I thought, what is the Breakfast Club, if I can ask? Sorry.
Yeah, it was founded in 1925 by all the big greats of all industries, actually, in Los Angeles at the time. These businessmen would ride their horses through Griffith Park, which is a giant expanse of nature in the middle of the city, and they would gather around the fire and eat breakfast, and slowly but surely it expanded into a club. They built their own stables, they built a clubhouse, they had radio time donated by the Warner Brothers so that the meetings were broadcast. They invited all the huge, biggest entertainers of the time to perform at the club and make appearances, including Charlie Chaplin, Walt Disney himself, who, as I mentioned before, we were talking about today. And then it just has lasted. It's ebbed and flowed through the years, but through its eccentric traditions and good food and celebration of friendship, I mean, that's really what the club is. We celebrate friendship, and it's not religious, it's not political. We just get together and have fun together, and it's a true time warp, as anyone can tell you who steps through the doors. It is quite otherworldly. It's something you must experience to fully understand.
That sounds great.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, anything steeped in history to that extent is always going to be great.
Yeah, and we meet every week, every Wednesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
The only
full breakfast and live pianist and sing-alongs and secret handshake and a different speaker or entertainer every week.
As indeed your introduction on Facebook says, a tiny massless packet of energy that moves in waves through the vacuum of space. That is Lily Hoffman. I appreciate you. Shocking news, Estera revealed she's left Facebook and gone to Instagram. Surely the whole idea is blended social media. Not just, you know, it's blended social. Never mind, we can appreciate that. It's Mark Zuckerberg will be beside himself with despair, but never mind, I'm sure he'll cope with the whole system. Lily, two series which I think actually would benefit immeasurably if we can't get you back to NCIS Los Angeles, but they're little... I found them golden nuggets recently. One was effectively The Good Place, which I don't know if you've seen The Good Place at all.
No.
Well worth accessing. Check out The Good Place. Wonderful. I can see Lily is a wonderful leader. The other one into its fourth season, or approaching its fourth season, is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Haven't you heard of either of those?
I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Lily, have you followed Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
I haven't seen it, but I hear good things.
Yeah, well, you know, just to give you a little smidgen in terms of where really this series does need added Lily Holliman-esque.
I was working hard at a New York job, making dough, but it made me blue. One day I was crying a lot, and so I decided to move to West Covina, California. Brand new pals and new career. It happens to be where Josh lives, but that's not why I'm here.
She's the crazy ex-girlfriend.
What? No, I'm not.
She's the crazy ex-girlfriend.
That's a sexist term.
She's the crazy ex-girlfriend.
Can you guys stop singing for just a second?
She's so broken inside.
The situation's a lot more nuanced than that.
C-R-A-Z-Y.
Okay, we get it.
Crazy ex-girlfriend.
Little nugget I sort of discovered whilst doing a little bit of web surfing and so on. I'm currently working my way through all three seasons, each episode 5, and it's very, very positive, really good. So,
yes, yeah. It's written by a lady called Rachel Bloom, mm-hmm. and she is just the epitome of hilarity for me personally.
It's got an awful lot of LOL moments, he says, using a vernacular I never thought I'd
actually
employ. Oh,
it's just hysterical, Alex. It's really good.
Estera. Things to do, check out Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Do it.
Be on my list.
Have you guys just gotten this for the first time over in across the pond?
No, it's just basically, I like to live in a time vacuum. Having said that, the first sort of episode of the Good Place, it's now into halfway through it's mid-season hiatus. That's well worth accessing. The Good Place, short 20 minutes, with Ted Danson, formerly of Cheers, who's actually in there. But it's all good. I won't give any spoilers around because it's just too difficult to go through. Shaylee, any further questions you want to put to Lily about life, the universe, and so on?
Yes, indeed. So, Lily, I actually follow you on Instagram. Not that you're aware, but okay. No, I'm joking. I just wondered, your Halloween costume, you were dressed as grapes. Where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah, I mean, we had William Coles dressed as a Joker.
Really wanted...
Grapes, really.
I have a history of doing costumes where people have to ask me what I am, and I have to explain it ad nauseum, and then they still don't understand what I am. So I was determined to do a costume where people did not have to ask me what I was.
Well, it worked, because you look good, and everybody can tell what it is.
Meanwhile, filled in as the Mad Hatter, enjoying the company of a future bottle of wine. Just shows.
Exactly. I think the Mad Hatter suits Phil.
I wish I had gotten Phil to dress as a bottle of wine, and we could have been before and after.
That's genius.
I know. Hindsight is 20/20, but you know that costume cost me about $2 to make.
Excellent.
Because I went to the 99-cent store, and I just got a packet of balloons for 99 cents and a packet of safety pins. for 99 cents, and the rest I already had. So
you see, Esther, we were talking about dress code for the Lincoln Food and Gift Fair. Just get your balloons out.
Crepes.
That's a rough.
Balloon skirt. Yes, I can see it now. Yeah, clearly. Definitely. Exactly. Lily Holloman is fashion forward.
I will warn you that it's very hard to move around when you pin lots of balloons all over you.
I imagine it's quite squeaky.
It's squeaky. You can't really get through small spaces. Getting in the car, I kind of had to lie down in the car without a seatbelt.
See, that has got to be an episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend in itself, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was comedy. If you ever want I want to make a movie with just an extra in the background dressed as a bunch of grapes. Trying to get around the party.
Well, I'll go one stage further, Lily. I think maybe Phil could actually, and yourself, could recut the Lady Killers by inserting a few strategically placed CGI images.
It's going to be like Spot the Grapes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I like that.
Well, you can pass it on to Phil, and hopefully when he joins us, midnight in Los Angeles, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, for the weather forecast for Lincoln from Los Angeles. I know, Hysteria, it's crazy, but that's the kind of alternate reality we've existed in, as Philip Hurdwood said. We'll pass on the grape line. Larry Namicek is waiting. So if it's okay with Lily, we might actually sort of say those last two questions now. So, Hysteria, having bonded over the vegetarian equivalent to a ham and egg breakfast by the Los Angeles Club's very own chair, Parson, and indeed general all-round wonderful soul, Lily Holloman, would you like to put those last two questions to Lily, please?
Have you had a nice chat with us, and will you be back soon?
Such a nice chat, and I will be back as soon as possible.
Excellent. Whether we squeeze one in before Thanksgiving, I don't know. Talking about a grape, obviously. West Covina, it does exist, I presume.
It does.
Yeah. Well, we'll have the West Covina song to take us over to Larry Namicek. Yay, go!
About to change. Oh my gosh. 'Cause I'm hopelessly, desperately in love with West Covina. Concrete ground, hear the whoosh of the bustling town. What a feeling of love in my gut. I'm falling faster than the middle school's music program was cut. People dine at Shea Applebee's, and the sky seems to smile at me. It's all new, but I have no fear.
I see the fish.
And also by coincidence, Josh just happens to be here. Destiny, that much is clear. And also, this guy Josh just happens to be here. Is he here? He's not here. To be clear, I didn't move here for Josh. I just needed a change. 'Cause to move here for Josh, now that'd be strange. But don't get me wrong, if he asked for a date, I would totally be like, that sounds great. Did it sound cool when I said that sounds great? Okay, how about now? That sounds great. Yes, I heard of West Covina from Josh, but I didn't move here because of Josh. Do you get those things are different?
Pablo Inglés.
Entiendes que son diferentes. Look, everyone, stop giving me the shakedown. I am not having a nervous... West Covina, California, West Covina, California. Hear the band playing in my heart. My new life is about to start. True happiness is so near. Aw, you guys are good. Bye-bye.
So
Sorry, kids. Budget cuts.
Tuba anymore.
No, no more band.
Get that back. Nice dress.
And also by coincidence, so random, just by chance, would I think it's so remarkable and here right it's so rare that this guy Josh just happens to be.
And the 2 hours from the beach.
The only thing when you're 2 hours from the beach in West Covina that you could possibly actually follow to keep the sort of essence of goodness and quality going is this.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
So how far away from West Covina are you, Larry Nemechek?
I think about 20 minutes.
20 minutes? You see? I knew there was a reason to get Crazy Ex-Girlfriend to the fore. You know, it's a Star Trek alternative universe. Wonderful.
I'm about midway between West Covina and the beach, so I beat her.
To the
beach, anyway.
Exactly. Very important. I was saying, well, I'm sure we'll be talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend in various ways. Esther, it's something to really look out for. Although you may well have other things to do with your life other than watching television programs.
I'm intrigued now.
You got a musical, you got a TV show. It's the sort of thing which helped me over the shock of the mid-season finale of Star Trek Discovery. I thought I needed something to kind of get over the whole range of that, so I thought, let's go Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's marvelous stuff.
That will do it, yes. We all needed some therapy, though. It was good.
Hey, sometimes Midweek Drive presenters more than most. But anyway, let's progress. We have reached that mid-season finale of the series. We've had lots of tribbles on After Trek. We've had a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Shaylee, which episode have you reached now in terms of your Star Trek Discovery watching?
I think I'm on about the third or fourth one, I think.
Oh, so still relatively the mid-season that actually working through that process.
I'm excited, though, to see where it goes. I'm really, like, the more I watch, the more I'm falling in love with Michael. Platonically, of course.
Oh.
Michael Burnham, of course, doing wonderful systems there. And played by Sonequa Martin-Green.
Yep.
The last episode was defined as being Balance of Terror Good, which for those Trekkers of old school effectively is referring to a classic series of the whole system, which is an awesome scenario of Balance of Terror Good. Would you... That kind of bore some good. Would you agree, Larry? Or was it a case of... You know, they didn't have a line that was equivalent to, it never seems to make any sense, but we have to know that there was a reason.
I think it was interesting that they pulled out Balance. No, it was a good episode. I saw that quote too, and I thought, well, okay. I'm trying to understand what that relates to, unless it was just a random. I mean, Balance of Terror introduced the Romulans. It was the classic submarine show, and I didn't quite get that vibe out of this finale, out of the fall finale. But it was still a good. It was somebody was talking about how it seemed to veer. It went along in one vein, and then right there at the end, when they set you up for the cliffhanger to get you into January, it seemed to kind of change mood a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Into the Forest I Go is the episode we're talking about. And again, it was interesting when the writers were developing with a link that was almost even more challenging than the ones that we've sometimes had with Larry in terms of sorting things through. We must try you via Skype one of these days, Larry. I think we've got those connections working, and I think it's time we sort of, you know, let's move to that next phase.
We could do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, on that basis, Larry, you could indeed co-present the entire show if you wish. You know, you could stay with us on Skype. You don't have to worry about phone lines one at a time. You can actually sort of bond across the whole network, as we said.
What is the video reception on your radio Skype here?
Well, we like to use audio only as far as Skype's concerns, therefore actually reducing the bandwidth, you know? Because, as we've always said, in the fun world that is radio, the scenery is so much better.
So you're saying I don't get to see Larry's face?
All you need to do to see Larry's face is get hold of a copy of Star Trek, the official magazine, and I will actually pass over a copy of the
I'm just going to hold it over your face and pretend that you are Larry.
Oh, I would never get that. But under
that was really rude.
Yeah, under data core, there is the Nemechek Meister. There we are. The little box.
Yeah. Your shortcoming goes both ways. So, I've never seen all of your lovely faces.
Well, you can look at Facebook.
Good job, really.
You can look at Facebook now and actually find it under Southside Broadcasting. Estira, not really a Trek fan, it's fair to say, even though you spent time in the United States. Does Star Trek made it into Poland?
Of course, yes.
I would hope
No, my dad was a big fan, and everyone I know is a fan. I think it's just me.
Don't worry.
I've seen some episodes. I have definitely, it's not that I'm completely alien to it.
it's bonding in so many ways. But we're going to do the Nemechek Challenge now. It's the pre-Thanksgiving Larry Nemechek Challenge, in which I have, courtesy of our friends at SFX Magazine, and, Richard Edwards et al. There, they've produced 1,000 trivia questions from the Final Frontier. Now, if Larry kind of shares my thought about this, instantly you think, look, I might be an expert, but you can't just sort of put this pressure on me to actually answer questions randomly. So, Well, Larry, I'm going to first of all ask Asteria to give me a number between 4 and 102, please.
77. Well, good number.
very good number from that point of view. And we'll actually turn to page 77.
More than 47.
We could have had 47, but no, we decided we'd actually go with 77 from this point of view. And you've actually got guest stars and cameos. Now, the next line is a number for Larry, of course, between 1 and 20.
9.
Are you ready with that, Larry? You might get this, Larry. You might get this. Totally random selection.
Okay.
I think I actually have got this as well for this podcast. Star Trek The Next Generation. Yep. Okay. It featured an episode called Manhunt. Now, your question, Larry, from the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Manhunt, question 9, of course, is, and yes, I'm just checking out, I would have actually secured this, what famous musician was featured under heavy makeup, or who was the name of the famous musician featured in Manhunt under heavy makeup?
Fleetwood.
Yay!
Nice.
You see, he shoots, he scores. People have been saying Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, test him on that sort of basis.
Next Gen does a good bet. I waded through Next Generation and somebody died.
Yeah, well,
I thought you were going to veer into something like what famous wife of the Hollywood producer is the main guest star of
Oh, we
from Majel.
Exactly. Majel Barrett Rodenberry, of course, from that.
I just know how ridiculously simple it might wind up.
Just to live that, I'll pass the little book over, and I think it's only fair that I actually do the little challenge as well. So do a random selection, Estira, and just pick a sort of question, and we'll see.
Because
I think it's only fair. It's not a challenge, but I feel we're coming up to the holiday season. We're in the mid-season area here. This is something that Matt Myra doesn't sort of include in terms of his particular After Trek series. So I think we're pushing it a bit further, Larry. So, Estira, have you found a question for me?
I do. I found a section on Spock, and he's the character that I actually know.
Okay. I was gonna say, this is where we find out Alex has revised the entire book from cover to cover
and knows
the answers to everything already.
I'm sure Larry will pick up if I fail.
So I pick one of the questions from the Spock section.
Please,
if that's
do.
Okay?
Is that okay with you, Larry?
That's fine.
Fine, okay.
All right.
In which episode does Spock first perform a mind meld?
I would say that's Dagger of the Mind.
You can actually
check the answer in the back of the book there. I would say that's Dagger of the Mind, with Morgan Woodward as the guest star, who, of course, is the doctor who effectively he's been faced with that room, left alone in the room and does all sorts of things. Space so vast.
And the answer is Dagger of the Mind.
Woo!
Was that an easy question?
Force is strong in this one.
Was that too easy?
It's always... I feel, Larry, that with the holiday season around the corner...
Can I do another one? I like this.
He's going to be okay.
Like when the hangman's noose refuses to hang tight,
Clearly, it's like the Squire of Gothos all over again. Where's Trelane's parents when we're looking for them? Off you go, Astera. Go on, then.
Which Mission Impossible star was also considered for the role of Spock?
That would be Martin Lando. Hey, sorry, he shouts out. Would that be right, Larry?
That would be.
Is it Martin Lando, L-A-N-D-A-U, who went on to be Roland Hand in the whole thing?
Yeah.
Sadly passed away a few months ago. A husband, of course, of Barbara Bain, who I was referring to earlier.
Spooky. Nice connection. Correct answer.
Nice.
I can't take any more pace. I mean, honestly, it's too, you know, the excitement is too much. But we might have sort of various random choices there. Overall, Larry, if I was to ask you to grade the series so far for Star Trek Discovery, what mark out of 10 would you give the episodes we've seen? I mean, not individual episodes, but as a whole, the first 9 episodes, how would you score it? He's thinking about this. What sort of number is he going to say? Has he left us completely? Larry, are you still there? Do you know, I think he's left us completely. It was going so well.
Would you believe that was an... I've never heard that. Maybe I've forgotten. That was an emergency test by the city of Los Angeles, which kind of spooks me out that they can just take over your phone and do that. But
Phil will have a field day with that.
I paid my bill and everything.
We didn't get that emergency test by the city of Los Angeles. We just got complete silence. But that's okay. It's all right.
Oh, well, I'm glad. That was better on your eardrum.
But, you know, as long as they're testing those emergencies, because clearly they're so used to Phil Leonis as wrapping the show that the notion of Larry Nemechek, it sent us into another dimension. Kelvin timeline, prime timeline. My question for you as we head out of the midweek drive today, Larry, what score out of 10 would you give the first 9 episodes overall of Star Trek Discovery?
I'm going to say, because I still want them to resolve some of the visual issues, but I'm going to say an 8.
You know, I'll match that. I'd say an 8 as well. Minor
That's
quibbles, but
yeah.
Overall, I would go with that as an 8. Shaylee, you'll be able to do that when you've done the whole sort of that. So far, episode, because presumably you're up to the butcher's knife cares not for the lamb's cry.
Yeah, I would say probably 6. So I think it's got a way to go before I'm at 8 yet.
Letha and probably magic to make the sanest man go mad. Well worth accessing. Ooh. And indeed, into the forest I go. And it's into the evening we actually go, because on a show which has taken us from Jersey with Anna Lewis to Edinburgh with William Coles, Binky finally arrived, James Litherland with Back in Blue, Philip Hurdwood with Movies in Romania, Larry Nemechek, and Lily Holliman from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, and of course our exposure of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Larry, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
This has been more than reasonably interesting.
raise those lines, etc. Shaylee, now you've actually seen a photograph of the Nemechek Maestra. Actually, Nemechek, is there a Polish background to that, Larry?
It's actually Czech.
That was my guess.
Czech, Polish, it's all wonderful stuff from that sort of point of view. So will you return? I mean, I suspect next week being the eve of Thanksgiving Day, when the Americans give thanks for getting rid of us British, probably may not be around. It's Independence Day, of course. Will you return in between Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and the Christmas period? Will you be back with us, Larry?
I'd be happy to, Alec, anytime.
So a round of applause for Larry Nemechek, please. Astera, an okay show for yourself?
No, brilliant time. Thank you for having me.
And will you be back again shortly?
Yes, of course.
Marvellous. And Shaylee, back in the morning, presumably.
Absolutely.
8 o'clock, that's it. Well, we all need to leave with live long and prosper. Those are the words that we say. Can we all say it after 3? 1, 2, 3.
Live long and prosper.
Long and prosper. It's you and your world and I'm caught in the middle. I cut the edge of the knife and it hurts just a little. And I know, and I know, and I know, and I know that I can't be your friend. It's my head and my heart and I'm caught in the middle.